Praise God, saints. Saints, you all have a sermon outline in your bulletins to follow along with me this morning. Now, what is our sermon title today? Sold out. So that's a big title, huh? Praise God, saints. We have been through a sermon series called our Extreme Makeover. And now we're going to be moving into our next sermon series for the month of August, but I'm going to speak more about that in a little while. Let us open in prayer. Gracious God, you are the source of all light. It is by your word that you give light to our souls, precious Jesus. Lord, pour into us your spirit of wisdom. Pour into us your spirit of understanding, and we pray that our hearts and our minds are open to receive what you have revealed to us today. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Praise God, saints. I have one word, or really one phrase, that has been impressed upon my mind during the months of June and July. And that one word is wow. Wow and wow. And that phrase is, look at all that God has allowed us to do this summer of 2010. We have had a busy and an exciting summer here at Glenville New Life Community Church, amen? Many of us have put in a lot of hard work. Many of us have put in a lot of extra hours, extra time, extra commitment, extra energy, and a whole lot of extra effort. And when I think about these last 2 months and all that we have done together as a church family, I just stand back in awe, I take a deep breath, and I think, wow, look at God. Wow, look at God. Saints, how many of you here, if you think way back to July, I know that's not that long ago, but sometimes we get so busy, we forget about all the things we have done. How many of you participated in Youth Sunday, or Mother's Day Sunday, or Father's Day Sunday, or Graduation Promotion Sunday, or were a part of the summer camp staff or vacation Bible school, or maybe even just yesterday you were part of the church picnic in some form or fashion? But when you think about all those things, we can just stand back and say, wow, wow, Jesus, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your greater work. You know, saints, sometimes we can get delusional and we think that we are doing all this work. But it's not us, saints. It is the precious Lord Jesus that's allowing us to be involved in his greater task. You know, when I think about our last sermon series, Extreme Makeover, we as your pastors have been in awe of how many of you here at Glenville have been working real hard to make real personal changes in your life. You know, the conversations from Vacation Bible School, if you came to Vacation Bible School, those conversations were deep. They were deep, and many of our families were challenged to deal with some of the real work of what it means to become a healthy family, implementing communication skills and forgiveness and honesty. Those things were hard, amen? Some folks here at Glenville have been working real hard to make a difference in the lives of other people. How many of you all were at the Family Community Day last Thursday? Oh, all right. I'm about to say, oh God, this is not good. All right, praise God. Some of us were there. Saints, when we took a tally, we had 190 folks at our We Are Family Community Day. Praise God, that's good. Now, out of those 190 folks, 80 of those people were complete new guests. Never been in Glenville before, never walked upon our lawn. 80 people were completely new to Glenville. Now, I don't know about you, but I sat back like, wow, that has to be Jesus. Because nowhere in the world could I get 80 folks here in 2 hours that never knew anything about Glenville before. So I think, wow, look at what God allowed us to do. We had opportunity to come in touch with 80 new people for the cause of Christ. 80 new people. when I think about it and step back and just really take a look at what we're doing and why we are working so hard and why are we putting forth so much energy and effort and why are we doing all the things that we are doing? Because this stuff is not easy, amen? These things are not easy. That last sermon series was hard. I'm still working on Pastor Toby's Kiwi of Kindness. You remember she had the crown and the bat and the kiwi, and I was thinking, let's just throw the kiwi. I'm still working on that. This stuff that we are learning is hard. Pastor Rick preached that sermon last week, and everybody's eyes was like, wow. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and get the sermon series. But the things that we're doing, we're not just doing them willy-nilly, saints. And when we think deeply down to the roots of the matter, when we think really, really deep, we can see, saints, that there is something special about coming to Glenville. There's something special about entering the doors of Glenville New Life Community Church. There's something special about being in the midst of this place with these people. And when we get to the heart of the matter, it's something special about being a part of this family of God. You see, saints, here at Glenville, what we realize is so special is that we are experiencing God. Well, I hope you all are. We are experiencing God. Some of us, you see, saints, last week was my birthday, and I was so thankful for my birthday celebration and all my many gifts, and I really, really appreciated how much you all showed me, how you love me. But when I really sat back and thought about it, the greatest gift that I have had in my 37 short years of life is that I realized how much deeper, how much wider God gets the older you get and the more invested you get in Jesus Christ. You see, what I thought I knew some 15, 20 years ago, it wasn't really much at all. And now that I'm where I'm at now, I realize, wow, look at what all God has shown me. Look at what all God has revealed to me. Look at what God has brought me through. And I think, wow, if you've shown me all this and I'm only 37 years old, what is it going to be like when I'm in my 50s? What is it going to be like when I'm in my 60s? You see, saints, I'm excited about getting old now. I could care less how I'm going to look and what's going to be happening because I realize, saints, that something about God is going to get deeper and more personal and just better. You see, saints, there's something special about coming here to Glenville New Life. Something special and intimate that we realize that God really wants to know us. That God really, really wants a personal, deep, intimate relationship with us. And when we know these things, something changes in us. And we become like the prophet Jeremiah. Remember, he said it's like a fire. He said it's a fire shut up in my bones. And we can't be the same when we know that Jesus. You see, Glenville, if you haven't realized that over these last 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, or 50 years that you have been walking with Christ, if you haven't realized it, every single moment you have been running into Jesus. Running into Jesus. You have been encountering the living God every day. And when you know something about Jesus, when you know something about the experiences that we can have with Jesus, when Jesus touches your life, something happens. Something happens. Something changes. And that's where we're going to be moving into this new sermon series. And for the month of August, myself and the lay pastors will be preaching about running into Jesus. Running into Jesus. We will be talking about what happens when you run into Jesus. Who are the people that run into Jesus? What happens to those folks when they run into Jesus? You see, as I was saying, when we run into Jesus, life is not the same. Life absolutely, positively cannot be the same. Life as to be the same. When you know a little bit about Jesus, there is no way that you want to go back to that life you used to have. So in this first sermon of our new sermon series, I'm going to be introducing us to a woman that we already know. We met her in the last sermon series. Her name is Mary. And now if you remember, I spoke to you all about Mary, and Mary had a sister named Martha. Thank you. And Martha was up in that kitchen. Remember, she was doing all the work. But Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, this morning we read from the book of Mark, Mark 14. And I want you all to look at this with me, Mark 14, if we could all read this together. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume made of nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Oh, yeah, that's good. Okay, now I want us to look, because that was the perspective from the book of Mark. However, this story about the woman with the alabaster jar is told in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just keep saying that for our young people who are learning. But each of those Gospels gives us different details, so I want us to look at the same one, look from the perspective of John 12. If we can look at John 12, chapter 1 through 3. Read this with me. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. So here, from the Gospel of John, we are told that the person that poured the expensive perfume from the alabaster box was Mary of the Mary and Martha sisters. So let's take a look at Mary. Mary, we remember from last time, was the woman who sat at the feet of Jesus. And remember, her sister was in the kitchen preparing that food. We all remember that story. And remember, I told us that we can imagine how Martha felt, and Martha came stumping in and saying, "Jesus, Jesus, why is she sitting there and I'm doing all the work?" And we remember that Christ said what Mary was doing was the better thing. So let's fast forward, because now we're here with Mary again. And this time she is taking a very expensive jar of perfume and pouring it on the head and then the feet of Jesus. So first Mary sat, remember in the story of Mary and Martha, first she sat at the feet of Jesus. Now we see her not only at the feet of Jesus, but she's anointing his body with this expensive oil. But what also is happening in both of these stories? This is the second time, saints, that Mary is told that what she is doing for Jesus is wrong. In the first story, we have Martha saying, "What is she doing over there? Why is she doing that?" And now in the second story, we have the disciples saying, "Why is she doing this?" They ridicule her. They put her down. They admonish her and say, "You should not be doing this." Now, don't we as a church get similar questions in our lives? When we are giving our all for the church, when we are doing all the things that Christ asks us to do, and then we have people saying to us, "Why are you always at that church? Why are you always praying? Why are you always reading your Bible? Why are you always quoting those scriptures? Why are you always talking about God?" And saints, what's interesting in both of these stories is we don't just get these questions from people outside of the church. You see, Mary had a sister. And it was her sister that was questioning her and putting down what she was doing. And that same Mary then had to be questioned from the disciples. Those that were closest to Jesus were looking at her and saying, no, we can take that and sell it and do something better with the money. Isn't that true in our lives? How many of us get questioned about why we're doing the things we're doing for Christ? How many of us have had people put us down and look negatively upon us for doing Jesus' work? How many of us have had those same people be right here in this very building? Now, I don't mean to walk down anybody's street today. Knock on the door. But I think that it's time for us to see that. That it is not the outsiders that are sometimes critical of the cause of Christ. It is us here in the church. When we look at the story of the woman with the alabaster box, we realize that all of this stuff was happening just right before Jesus Christ was crucified. So all of these were happening when all of this ministry was happening when things were busy. And isn't that how it is for us? When we're at our busiest, when we're at our peak, when we have all of these things going on and we're just trying so diligently to get them done, and here we go with the critics right in our ear, telling us why are we doing the things that we're doing. Sometimes we get so focused on criticizing each other and putting each other down things that we don't realize that what that person is doing is what they've been told to do from Jesus. That they are not listening to us, they are listening to the living God. And that's what Mary was doing. You see, Mary was so focused on Jesus. She was so focused on Christ that those naysayers that were standing all around them, I like to call them naysayers, those naysayers that were standing there next to her, she couldn't even hear them anymore. Because what she had to do for Christ, her relationship with Christ, was so much more important than what other people had to say. Her relationship was so much more important. But you ask the question, how did she get to that point? How did she get to that point where she could completely block out all of the negativity and all the people saying all these negative things about her? Well, I believe she got to that point because she realized a couple things. She first realized who she served. She realized who she served. When Mary placed the anointing oil, the perfume on Christ's head and then on his feet, it was the same as a king receiving their crown. Anointing is similar to receiving a crown. Or maybe if you like to watch those King Arthur movies, it is the same as when the knight kneels down and they take the sword and they put it on one shoulder and then bring it over to the other shoulder and they knight the knight. The anointing is equal to the crown. And when she poured that pure nard on his head, she was placing his crown on his head. You see, when we run into Christ, we realize that we have met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And another thing about this anointing, you see, it says that she allowed her hair, her long, beautiful hair, to touch his head, then to touch his body, and then to touch his feet. Now, that's a pretty bad lady right there. Because we know how we are, ladies, about our hair. I still have yet to let my hair touch anybody's feet. So she allows her hair to touch his feet. And what is the symbolism in this is that a woman's hair is her crown. And she takes her crown and she bends over with her crown and she allows it to touch his head and his body and his feet. And she says, I'm submitting myself to you. I'm submitting my life. I'm submitting my crown to you, Lord Jesus. You see, when Mary came upon Jesus, when she ran into Jesus, when she saw that she was allowed to be in the presence of the King, she gave her life for the King. She became completely sold out, and everything about herself changed. And you see, saints, as I was telling us about all the wonderful things that God has allowed us to do and all the wonderful things that we have been a part of, Mary realized something, that in all those things, she didn't really make the choice. God had already chosen her. You see, we get up every day in some kind of way, we think, oh, I did this and I did that and I made this choice. But in reality, if we look at John 15, verse 16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. When you run into Christ, saints, you realize your worth. You realize that you have value. You realize that your meaning comes from the King of Kings. Therefore, whenever anyone is saying anything about you, it's just like it just bounces back off of you, because you know that the Lord is really saying, look, what you are doing is better. What you are doing is beautiful. Isn't that amazing? Well, all those naysayers were around telling her, oh, she's doing a horrible thing. Oh, she shouldn't be doing that. Jesus said what she is doing is beautiful. Mary knew that she served the King. Mary knew that the King chose her and then told her that her work was beautiful. Then the next thing that Mary realized is that with anointing comes healing. With anointing comes healing. You know, saints, back in the day, before there were doctors and nurses and hospitals, for all this nice stuff that we have today, healing came through the special oils and the special anointings that were placed on the body. Now, you can imagine that after a long day of work, how many of you all have worked some really hard days? Anybody? Okay. You get home, and the one thing you're thinking, I could just go home and get in that nice warm bath, and I'm going to pour that oil. How many of you all pour that oil, that bubble bath in your bath, them salt seeds or whatever you put in your bath, just to be relaxing and soothing? And with Christ, saints, comes that same type of soothing, that healing, that true emotional, physical, and mental healing, and healing of the wounds like no other. So Mary was able to do some of the things that she did and endure the criticism that she endured because she knew who she served. She knew she was chosen. She knew that she was going to receive healing. And then the next thing she knew was that her cup was going to be filled. Our favorite psalm that many of us know is Psalm 23. And part of that, verse 5, it says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. You see, here is one of the greatest parts of anointing, is that when we receive our anointing of Jesus Christ, when we run into Jesus, the Spirit of God, then the Holy Spirit comes upon us. The Holy Spirit comes upon us. And you see, saints, this is the turning point for every Christian right here. Because if you're wondering, like, why am I not experiencing what they're experiencing? Why am I struggling? What is different in my walk than somebody else's walk? It is that presence of the Holy Spirit. And realizing that you can't do any of this stuff without Jesus. We cannot do one work without the presence of God. You see, we can get up and we can go about our day and we can do everything, and we haven't even touched Jesus. But when we begin our day and say, Lord, let me be in your presence. Let me be in line with you. Let me make sure that everything that I'm doing is about you, Lord Jesus. And tap into that Holy Spirit power. Then our walk begins to change. When we sit at the feet of Jesus in prayer, when we yield our life completely to Christ, when We go to the throne of the living King and say, Lord, I am yours. I am yours. What happens, saints? We get something in return. Oh, my goodness. We get the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then our cup flows over. You see, saints, I realize that when we know who we serve, we are willing to give our all. When we know who we serve, we are willing to give our all, everything. Everything in our life will begin to line up with Jesus. Every point will line up with Jesus. Everything becomes about Jesus. Every moment is about Jesus. Even our thoughts become about Jesus. And I know you're sitting there thinking, oh, Pastor Kelly, that sounds nice, but that's not really what's happening. But saints, this is, I said before, this is hard work. And it doesn't happen overnight. This takes years and years of commitment and dedication. Mary just didn't one day get up and say, I can give my all for Jesus. She began by sitting at the feet of the throne. You know, when you really start digging deeper and realizing how deep, how wide, how long, how high Jesus Christ's love is for all of us, then we become sold out for Jesus. You know, saints, in this coming month, everything that we're going to be talking about is what happens when we run into Jesus. And I'm only really talking about one thing right now. One of the things that happens when we run into Jesus is that we become sold out. Sold out, if you think about a concert, means all the tickets are gone. Everything is gone. There's nothing left for anything or anybody else. And can you imagine if you apply that to Jesus, where everything you have is given to Jesus? Everything. And that's a hard thought, because some of us put a whole bunch of other little things in front of Jesus and we don't even realize it. Our families come first. Our children come first. Our jobs come first. We come first. But what if all of those things were secondary and Jesus came first? You know, when we look at this woman with her alabaster box, we realize that giving everything to Jesus costs something. It's costly. You know, these women, they wore these perfume necklaces around their necks. And this was a form of respect, a form of honor for women. And it was very personal and very intimate for them to have this precious box, this precious jewelry filled with perfume about in their neck. And I want you to think about this, because women and men didn't have the luxuries that we have today. They just couldn't go in their house and say, oh, I'm going to take a shower today. I feel like taking this luxurious bath, because there was no indoor plumbing. They just didn't have complete access. They couldn't run over to the Walmart and get some soap and toothbrush and deodorant. Everything was completely accessible to them. But they didn't want to smell bad. So their perfume, this alabaster box, was a part of her cleanliness, a part of herself. This was like if you gave away all of your soap, all of your deodorant, your toothbrushes, your towels, your combs, your shampoo, your deodorant, and your water all at the same time. Now, none of us is willing to do that, amen. But she was giving up something of great importance to herself, something of great value. And why would you want to give up something of great importance? Why would you want to give up something of great value? When we think deeper in the Bible to other stories, we look at the widow. Remember the widow? She had those two copper coins. That's all she had. All she had to live on, and she gave them up for Christ. Think way back to the three wise men. They trekked across the hot desert with their gold, their frankincense, and their myrrh to give it to Jesus. Something of great value, something of great importance, hard work. Why would they do something of such value for just anybody? Well, it's because they realize that there must be something special about Jesus. special about this king, something special that when you run into Jesus, you become completely sold out and are willing to give up everything. Even the smallest alabaster box. Willing to give up everything. To make sacrifices, willing to be ridiculed and be put down and say, what you're doing is wrong. They're willing to give their all for someone named Jesus. You know, saints, I don't know where you may be right now in your personal walk with Christ. But I would implore upon you today to examine yourself and to say, am I completely sold out today for Jesus? Am I completely willing to give all, every single little thing for Christ? That's a hard question to ask, isn't it? That's a hard thought to even fathom, to wrap your mind around. That Jesus might choose you to let go of everything. Jesus might choose you today to take your hair and wash somebody else's feet. Jesus might choose you today to go up to someone who you don't think deserves it. You don't even think needs it, and ask you to take your crown and give everything. Saints, my question is to dig deeper today and think about where you are right now. Are you running into Jesus? Are you experiencing Christ on a daily basis? That's only a question that you can answer. Let us pray.